Happy Sabbath.
Good morning.
Welcome. Oh, you can do better than that. Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Tabernacle Praise. We want to invite you to stand with us as we usher in the Spirit of God's Sabbath rest.
We set our work aside. We leave our cares behind on this day of Sabbath rest.
Oh, God, on this, your holy day,
on this your holy day,
oh, we've come to give you praise.
Come to give you praise on this day of Sabbath rest.
Sabbath rest, oh, Sabbath rest, holy rest.
Ooh. On the day he set aside,
it's hallowed blood. sanctify all the land.
God, Lord, we are so blessed to be here on this precious Sabbath day. Lord, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit and our Father, our Savior, to be with us as we worship on this precious hour. Lord, we thank you for bringing us all. We thank you for keeping us. And now, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us as we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want you to join in with me as we give our love and our exoneration to the Lord as we recite the Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. It's on the board. Let us recite that together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Good morning, happy Sabbath, everybody. You may be seated in the presence of an amazing God. Good morning, happy Sabbath, everybody. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And it is indeed a blessing and an honor to be in God's house and in his presence just one more time. I'm glad he woke me up this morning.
Yes.
Amen. Started me on my way. Put food on my table, clothes on my back. It is a blessing and an honor to be here today. We want to welcome you to the Tabernacle of Praise, where here we refer to it as the top. Want to welcome you who are viewing with us online. We praise God for you. We know you could go elsewhere, but you have made a conscious decision to come and worship with us. So we want to say welcome and we thank you. We want to welcome you who are in the physical space. We praise God for you. Again, as always, we know the mattress can be a booger to work with in the morning. But we praise God that you won that battle and you are here with us so we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So it is indeed a blessing and an honor to be in God's house just one more time. Just a couple of announcements I want to share with you, and I will humbly get out of your way. As we approach our camp meeting week this week, we will have our camp meeting service on next week's Sabbath. So we'll be in Kansas City, so we will not have worship in the physical house, amen. So we encourage you to tune in to our Central States Conference channel. You can go to our YouTube channel, and you can find us there, and we'll be worshiping in that space on next week's Sabbath. So we will not be in the physical house, amen, but we will worship together at camp meeting. Anybody going to camp meeting, anybody will be traveling to camp meeting this week, amen. I see a hand in the back over there. We'll praise God for you. I will be heading out earlier this week, going there to do my due diligence, and so I ask that you would keep me in prayer as we make our way there. Also on Wednesday, we will not have our prayer time together as we normally meet on Zoom, as we are going through the last day event. This Wednesday we will not be having our prayer meeting on our Zoom session, but we will connect on the following week. So please mark your calendars for that. It's good to see Sister Bev in the house. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's been how long, Sister Bev? About 2 days? 6 weeks. Amen. 6 weeks. I know you were thirsty for the presence. Amen. So we're so happy and blessed and glad that you are back with us. Amen. Taking up your post behind your mic. Amen. We praise God for you. And we also want to keep the Harrises in prayer as they are traveling to funeralize their cousin in Indiana, and all other members, Sister Betty, who funeralized her grandson on yesterday. So we just want to keep all of our members in prayer as they mourn or this period of bereavement. We want to keep them lifted up. Amen. The last Sabbath of the month, we are scheduling our communion time together. Also, we're looking at a baby blessing, so we want you to mark your calendars for June the 29th as we will have our communion service at that time. Let us take a moment and bow our heads, if you don't mind, as we have a word of prayer. Loving Lord, again, our God and Father, our amazing King, ruler, master of everything, we're so blessed, honored, and privileged to be able to come before you on this platform. You are truly an amazing God. Without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we're more than conquerors. And so we bless you and honor you in the name of Jesus. Do what you do in our service today. Have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen and amen again.
Oh,
praise you
forever
and ever.
For blessing me.
Hallelujah.
It's our testimony this morning.
Yes.
As we gather our hearts and our minds as we approach God's throne, it's a blessing to know that we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above than we can think of or even imagine, things that can't even enter into our imaginations. God is able to do. And so we're so blessed this Sabbath. It's good to see the McCrays back in the house. Amen. The health challenges, we praise God for you and your family. We've been praying for you and we will continue to pray for you as we approach God's throne. I ask that you will continue to remember, as I mentioned earlier, the Bateman family who funeralized their grandson, 18 years of age, on yesterday. Remember the Harris family who's traveling to funeralize a cousin in Indiana. We want to lift them up in prayer. I want to remember all of those who are battling with health challenges and who are dealing with the loss. You know, I've come to learn that just because it's been a month or two, amen, just because it's been a month, maybe 2 months, that your loved one has passed, maybe a year or two, doesn't make it any easier. And sometimes we fail to realize that the loss of a loved one is an impactful thing. The Lewis family who lost a sister, we want to remember them in prayer as well. So for those that choose to come close to the altar, we encourage you to come. For those that would like to remain in your seats, we ask if you can reverently bow as we approach God's throne in prayer. It's prayer time. God is every present help when you pray, and the time of the storm will turn out. God is a very present help in the time of storm. Let us bow. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, we're so thankful, so honored, and we're privileged to be able to open up our mouths and to bless your name. You are truly an amazing God. We've come to learn, Father, that without you, we're hopelessly lost, but with you, we're more than conquerors. And so we realize, Father, that we can do all things through you. And even when we ventured out and tried it on our own, we've learned quickly that we cannot do it by ourselves. And so we're so thankful that you are a God that never gives up. You are a God that faileth not, and you don't hold it over our heads, but you encourage us along the way, reminding us through trials and tribulations that you are the only one. Sometimes we don't get it on the first go round, sometimes the second go round, but Lord, we thank you that you don't have a stop button in your body. But you continue to pursue after your children. And so we want to say thank you, God. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who laid his life down willingly, that we here in this space may have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to commune with you, Father, creating this platform called prayer. And we could come and commune with you and sup with you. You tell us in thy word that to bring our petitions, make our requests known. Are you not a father that would give us what we ask within reason? Oh, yeah, Lord, we thank you for hearing and answering us. Thank you for healing bodies. Thank you for regulating our minds. So as we lift up before you the Harris family and those that have lost loved ones and that are bereaved today, the Lewis family and the Bateman family. We're asking God that you will be with them during this difficult time. And even that member who may have lost a loved one maybe a week or two ago, maybe a year or two ago, but the lingering memories of that loved one still resonate. And so, Father, we ask that you will continue to do what you do and create in all of us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us, that wherever we go or whatever we do, Father, that your name will truly be glorified. I lift up before you our family and friends that are viewing with us online, that have taken the time out to stop by our channel and just spend the Sabbath with us. I pray a special blessing upon them, oh God. I ask that you will grab them and hold them. Let them know that you have them as well in the palm of your hands. And for my family here in the physical space, Lord, we touch down on them as well. You know their circumstances. You know what they need before they're even in need of it, be it those in their pews or those that have chosen to come close to the altar. We're asking God that you would do a mighty work Break up the fallow ground, God, and renew the right spirit. That when we leave this place, we will not leave here the same way we came. Let your power fall. Let it fall in a way, O God, and we will know without a shadow of a doubt that we serve the risen Savior. Thank you for the McCrays. Thank you for Sister Bev. Thank you for Sister Elaine. Thank you for Sister Alexandria, my wife, family, and my children. We praise you, God. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for those that are in this building. Oh, God, my God. Oh, how gracious you are to us. So do what you do, and we will be ever so mindful to give you the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And if there's anything I've left out, oh God, we pray that you will touch it even now. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen again.
Anybody get any drops from heaven this week? Any drops fall on you from the Holy Spirit? Amen, amen. We're always in need of drops from the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, I know that God has blessed you this week. I know that God has participated in your life. Well, now's the time where we all can participate as well in God's life by sharing our time, talent, temple, and treasure for His glory. Now, God gives us all these things. We can use them for our own benefit as well, but He gives them to us also to not forget to share them back with Him and with His work, which includes the work in the church. In that vein, remember July 27th. What day is that?
July 27th.
Not the date.
Backpack Sabbath.
Backpack Sabbath. Yeah. Yeah, I know it's July 27th. It's Backpack Sabbath. All right, and we're so happy to have our stewardship director here with us again, Sister Beverly. She, along with Lakita and myself and other volunteers, have been working hard. Everything is prepared. All we need is you, our volunteers, our church family. So we want to have a very quick meeting next Sabbath, right after service, for all... I thought that was a weekend.
No.
All right, my bad. We'll reschedule that. But we are going to have to meet with the church family, our leaders, as well as all those who are going to volunteer. So we'll meet after church, not next week, but the week after, hopefully. And what we want to do is make sure that we got our plans in order. We got 600-plus backpacks to give out to our community. So have you been telling your family, friends, and loved ones about Backpack Sabbath? Mm-hmm. Have you been telling any students that you know of, anyone with children? Well, it's not too late, so start telling them. We'll have some flyers for everyone also to give out at work, to pin up on the work bulletin board or wherever you can to let people know. It's totally free. All they have to do is drive by, get the backpacks they need, and have a blessed day. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll keep that on our hearts. Remember, start sharing. It's never too late. It's only 2 months, about 8 weeks away. And these weeks go like days. Mm-hmm. It's going to be here before we know it. So let's prepare for that. Also, we didn't get to have our 12 Steps to Success meeting because of the tornado warnings last time. So June 23rd is going to be our next 12 Steps meeting. Everyone's invited. It's at 5 p.m. on a Sunday, June 23rd. Also, keep in mind that we have switched over from our online giving. Now you give through AdventistGiving.org, AdventistGiving.org. Just write, search for Tabernacle of Praise, Spanish Lake, Missouri, and then put your offering in through that method. Amen? Amen. All right, if our deacons and if our deacons would come forward to lift the morning's tithe and offering, continue to be faithful. God is faithful to you. Continue to be faithful to Him in tithe and offering, in your time, talent, temple, and treasure. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for being with us, giving us the privilege to return that which you have given unto us, dear Lord. We ask and pray that you will use our offering and our tithe for a worthy purpose, that is spreading the gospel message to all the world in this generation. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen and amen.
So glad to be here with you.
Some of you got in my scooter and tried to run over people in my house. Some of you brought me food, but I give. Thank God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I thank God for your prayers and my sister-in-law.
Amen.
Who stuck by my side when sometimes I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And when I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, never a complaint. Always looking out for me. And she didn't have to do it, but she did. She's been with me the entire 6 weeks, and even before that when I had my knee done. So
praise
I just
want
to thank you publicly,
Amen.
Robin. I say
praise
thank you
Lord.
For
Amen.
Everything you've done for me in my life. Whatever you need him to be.
Thank you, Lord.
When you don't even know it.
Mm. Thank you, Lord.
Say that I'm gone. the time of sorrow.
Yes.
Ooh, he is God, my God, he is my all, he's my all in all. Ooh, God, my God, he is my today and my tomorrow. Ooh, God is God, my God, he is.
My life, he moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised he'd keep me, never to leave me, and he's never, ever come short of his word. I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way.
I've got to keep my life
clean
every day.
To go with him when he comes back,
said,
I've come too far, and I'll never turn back,
because
God is my God. Yeah.
God is my all and my all. Amen. Thank you so much. That was, I don't even know where to go with that one. God is so good. And he is able to bless us even in the midst of it all, that we can still look back and see that God is good. And all the time. And that he is worthy of all the praise. He's our all and all. He's my all and all. And I'm so glad to be able to take a moment and just reflect on that piece. That when I look back over my life and those times when I know I should not be here. But God is just a good God. And we look back and we see the trouble that we done caused ourselves. We were the one that started that ball in motion, and God stepped in and delivered us from ourselves. We couldn't blame mama, even though sometimes we do. We can't blame daddy, even though sometimes we do. And sometimes we blame everybody but ourselves. But God still said, even though you blame, doing the blame game, I'm still going to bless you anyhow. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to pull you through because I'm looking at what you don't see. I'm looking beyond that, I almost say a stupidity, but I'm going to say your faults. And I see what I want out of you. And I'm going to hang in there with you even though you don't understand. And even though it's not making sense right now, you have it all figured out. You know the end from the beginning. You know it better than me. And but I'm going to hang in there with you anyhow, even though you think you know the way to go. And because you learned a little bit about calculus and know a little bit about geometry and you got your license now and you driving with one hand when you was in... You used to have to do the 10 to 2. Now you figure you got it now. And now you let the seat back a little bit. Come on, somebody, help me now. You didn't let the turn the radio up. When mama was in there, you kept it down. But now you feel like you done got it. And so now you lay in the seat back. You got your windows down. You grown now. And God said, even though you think you grown, I'll let you go on and walk down the street like you're making it all happen. And then when we mess up, God said, I'm not even going to blame you. I'm just going to come on in there and help you out. I'm going to use it as a teaching lesson. And one thing about God, when we mess up, he don't just, you know, even though he don't hold it over our head, but he uses it as a teaching lesson. And, you know, sometimes we don't get it. But he said, I'm going to try to help you to understand that my way is the righteous way. That my way is the only way. And even though you're not getting it now, I'll let you bump your head a little bit and let you scrape your knee over here every now and again. But I'm still right here with you. I'm still here with you. I have not left you. I have not abandoned you. Even though you may have abandoned me and left me for your friends, left me for your job, left me for your hobby, left me for that extracurricular activity, but I want you to know I have not left you. I'm still here with you. You got it in your mind that you know what's best. You figured it all out now. You know it now. And God is saying, you don't know it, but I'm going to let you. You're going to know it. You may not know it now, but you're going to know it because I'm not going to give up on you because I have a plan for you. And that's what I love about him. And I'm speaking about myself now, that he didn't give up on me because I was that guy where I let my seat back and let the windows down, turn the music. You know, I was that guy. I'm okay. I don't mind letting you know I was out there like that. I know we don't want nobody to know you was out there like that, so I'll take the hit for that. You've always had it together. You've always walked straight. You never detoured. You never veered off. You're walking around. You just always had those Holy Ghost shoes on your feet. You never ventured down the path of wrongdoing. And I get it. That's okay. I'm the only one in here that's done that. I'm the only one. But I don't mind being an island. I don't mind being by myself because I'm glad that God was there with me. Amen. Praise God that he was there with me. And so as we look at our lesson today, as we look at the righteousness, the ungodly, the law, the righteousness, and the law. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. I know there was a debate. There was individuals going in because they figured when individuals use their phone that they just on their phone all during the service. And some preachers have a problem with that because they want you to listen to them, and I want you listening to God. I don't have to listen to me. So even on your phone, I know God through the Holy Ghost know how to stop by your role. So even if you're on your phone, amen, you may be on Facebook. Amen. Y'all don't do that in here, right? Instagram, huh? Unless you're going live. Amen. But I believe that God is still able to get this word through even when you're not paying attention. God knows exactly when to pull you up out of that. He said, okay, this ain't for you right now. So you on Facebook and you on Instagram and you're doing your thing. But then when I get to your street, the Holy Ghost know how to, and you think you're just taking a moment. Let me look up, and make sure nobody, and you look up right at the right time. Ain't God good? Even when you think you getting over on God, thinking you got your phone, the preacher think I'm looking up the text. And you all over the place. You done left St. Louis. You all in Barbados somewhere. But at the right time, I know the Spirit of the living God to know how to stop by your seat. And a commercial may come on that thing and you got to stop just to look up. And that word come out and get you. And that's the way God moves. So I'm so glad. So I don't trip on all of that. I know some pastors, they go in and they want you all, leaving your phone at home and iPads. Now bring them. Because God could work through anything. So if you don't mind turning with me to Psalms 1. Psalms 1, and we want to begin with verse 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. We do know that there are no chapters in Psalms, right? Amen. I'm going to talk about Psalms chapter 1 now. There's no Psalms chapter 1. Just Psalms 1. Amen. When you find Psalms 1, please stand with me as we read all six of these verses. Psalms 1, beginning with verse 1. Let's read these responsibly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, come on. But he delights and his, that's right, he shall be like a tree, oh praise God, planted by the rivers of waters, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and wherever he doeth shall prosper. Let's do verse 4 together. The ungodly are not so, which the wind drives away. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregations of the righteous. Verse 6, altogether, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this privilege and this honor that you have granted us to come before you as we now step into your word. We pray that you will prepare the way even now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of an amazing God. For the Lord knows exactly what he's doing. For he knows the way of the righteous. God is an amazing God. And I've come to realize that his amazingness has nothing or little to do with me. God is who he is because of who he is. God do what God do because that's what God do. I don't want to sound profound or all brilliant up here because I know I'm not. And so I'm not going to present myself as though I have some special intellect or some special power or some special knowledge. I've always said that where I stand, you can stand, and where you sit, I can also sit. I believe that God and his infinite wisdom do what he do because in his infinite wisdom, he know exactly what's best for each and every last one of us in this building. That God has taken all of eternity, if you will, just to view your record, just to view your life. God took all of eternity just to be able to relate and connect with you. Now, how can a God take all of eternity to connect with all of us at the same time? See, that's a God move. That's a God move, and it's best that we not try to figure it out. It's best that we not try to make sense of it. It's best that we trust him at his word. I'm saying that because too many times we as the people of God want to know why. We want it to make sense. We want it to line up. We want it to fit the piece. We want everything to coordinate. We want everything to line up and everything to just fall in place. And if it don't fall in place, then something's wrong. And it very well may be God's way of letting you know that I'm in control. It very well may be God's way of saying, you have taken matters in your own hands and you've taken it out of mine. And the only way that I can get it back in my hands is to let it run its course. Yeah. Because the more I try to pull it from you, the more you pull it back to you. And God is a wise God. He said, I think it's best for me to let you do you. Because apparently, what I have to say and what I have for you, it doesn't make sense. So the best way that I can get you to understand what I'm trying to do in your life is for you to see it for yourself. Amen. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I learned on my own that I don't have to make mistakes. Yeah. I don't have to get shot. Amen. Yeah, yeah. I don't have to get shot in order to know or learn I don't want to get shot. Yeah. Are you with me? In other words, I don't have to do certain things in order for me to say, you know what? That's not what I want to do. I learned it at an early age that I can look at somebody else's stupidity. I can look at somebody else's mistakes. I don't have to make the mistakes. As long as I can see you and see how you're turning out and how it's affecting, I don't need to go down that road. I learned that at a very early age. Does that mean I didn't make mistakes? No. I made a lot of them. But I didn't have to. I've done a lot of things that I should not have done, and I didn't have to. I've entered into a lot of situations, and I didn't have to. But the only way God could teach me was to let me go on in there. Yes, Lord. Psalms is a very inspiring and encouraging text. The first Psalm, the very first one, starts out with the word blessed. If that's not enough to just get you excited, I don't know what to say. Because he's, you know, and we all understand the Psalms is, you know, the Psalms of David, you know, David and his life journey, his experience through life. And we go through the Psalms and we hear about David singing, hear about the mistakes that he's made and all that. And we all this David. And Bible starts out with this psalm to let us know that there is two ways that you can go. There is the way of righteousness, and then there is a way of the ungodly. And it starts out by simply saying, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The way of the righteous man, the text says, he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And the Hebrew word asher is here, which is translated blessed, which has the idea of happiness or contentment. Asher is a form of the Hebrew word ashar, which in its root simply means to be straight or to be right. Blessed is the man speaks of the happiness, the blessedness, the contentment in the life of a man or woman who is right or straight with God. You can't be blessed without God. Now let me put a disclaimer in there, because I do want you to know that the devil know how to bless folk too. But see, that type of blessing is not a real blessing. You see, that blessing right there will let you enjoy it for a moment. But I guarantee you that every blessing that the devil gives you, there is a price you have to pay. But the blessings that I'm talking about that God gives, blessed is the man, is a blessing, is a peace that passes all understanding. And the only thing that God is requiring from a man who is blessed is that he get the glory. That you recognize and realize where your help comes from. It's not an ego thing with God. It's not a braggadocious moment with God. It's not God trying to keep you under his thumb. It's not God trying to hold you. And it's no. God said, listen, I'm going to give you this because that's how much I love you. Many of us who have children
When our children and our babies are hungry and we feed them, we don't go back later on and say, now, I done fed you, what you gonna do for me? I provided food on the table, now you owe me. I hope that that's not how we're moving with our children. Because the truth of the matter is, they didn't act to be here. Matter of fact, none of us was asked to be here. And oh, how we get older and our thinking begins to change. Now all of a sudden we're looking at this generation as if this generation is the worst generation on God's green earth, and you fail to realize that you were once a generation of children that was operating so far out of the box that your parents and that generation was looking at you as if something was wrong with you. And oh, how we get a couple, I would have said, I almost said letters, but I meant numbers. And get a little older, Brother Mike, and now all of a sudden our thinking shifts. We forget that we too used to break the rules. And I know, I'm, you know, I have to be careful because I don't want nobody to think that I'm giving our children a rite of passage to just operate any kind of way. No. I'm trying to help us as parents and adults to understand that there is a way that we deal with our children. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is what we teach. This is how we raise our children. That there is a way that we operate as children of the living God. And if I expect you to operate that way, then I very well need to be operating that way. I can't expect you to do something that I'm not doing. Is that how we used to do it back when, I know when I was little, Daddy used to say, no, you can't do that. But Daddy, you doing it? Well, I'm old. Anybody familiar with that? That, you know, don't do what I do. Do what I say. But Daddy, you looking at her? But Daddy, you drinking it? Well, you know, you don't need to do that. So we have to lead by example. Blessed is the man and woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want your babies to live a certain, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Teach the way that God is teaching you. Show your babies that God is a loving God and a forgiving God. The righteous man would be a blessed man and a happy man. Blessed simply means supremely happy or fulfilled. In fact, in Hebrew, the word is actually a plural, which denotes either a multiplicity of blessings or an insignificant amount of blessings. In other words, blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And I don't know about you, but I need some blessings upon blessings in my life. So I try to move in a way that my babies will understand that Daddy loves you, but at the same time, we can't move like that. You see, it is not a blessing. It is not blessed is the king or blessed is the scholar or blessed is the rich. But it simply says blessed is the man. This blessedness is as attainable by the poor, the forgotten, and the obscured as by those who are famous and are well known. You too can be blessed. It is not about your pedigree or your financial statement. No, you too can be blessed. not about the clothes on your back or the money in your bank. You have a lot of folk that have good clothes and name brand clothes. You have folk that have money in the bank, but they're not blessed. They're not happy. They're not fulfilled. And they don't know the Lord. See, we can say this thing simply speaks of thinking or having when he tells us to walk not or stand not or nor do we even sit in the seat. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But the text goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. See, this is where we want to pitch our tent, family of God, because at the end of the day, we get our happiness through God's word. We walk not, nor do we stand, nor do we sit. You see, the blessed man does not do certain things. This is a way that he will not walk. There is a way that he or she will not talk. There is a way or a path that he or she will not stand in, or a seat that he or she will not sit in. There are some things that the child of God, the blessed man, the blessed woman, there are some things we just won't do. I don't care what's on the table. I don't care who like it or who don't like it. There are certain things we just not gonna do. I'm just not gonna put my hands in it. Call me unpopular. Call me what you want to call me, but I will walk away from that situation a blessed man. Not because you said so, but because the word of God said so. And that's where I take my cue from, God's word. I won't touch it. I won't sit in it. I won't fool with it. I don't have nothing to do with it. Call it what you want to call it. But at the end of the day, I want he that is able to keep me to call my name.
You see, the thing of the matter is that we can say that these things speak of thinking or behaving or belonging, but the righteous man and the ungodly man, here it is, are different in how they think, how they behave, and how they do things, and whom they belong to. There's a difference. You cannot take two wrongs, line them up, and call one wrong and one right. Same way, you cannot take two rights and put them side by side and call one right and one wrong. If you're right, you're right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're blessed, then you are simply blessed. They're two different things. You see, others have also seen in this here progression of sin that the great lesson to be learned from the whole is sin is progressive. One evil propensity or act simply leads to another, and then another, and then another. And now you got to cover this one up with a lie to cover that one up, and to cover this one up, you got to do something else that is wrong. And one thing simply leads to another. That's why it behooves us, family of God, don't play around with it. Don't fool around with it. Because it's simply a progressive move. He who acts by bad counsel may soon do evil deeds, and he who abandons himself to evil doing may end up in his life in total apostasy from the word of God. Because one thing will lead to something else.
That's why it's best, family of God, that as we move through this thing called Christianity, that we're understanding the words of the Lord, and that we're moving in a way where we're understanding that it may not feel good at times, it may not look good at times, but let me tell you through the word of God that it is good because of who we serve. This is the best course of action. This is what God is trying to save you from, keep you from. And it's a sad day to get to the end of it, to have to look back and reflect. And now we say, I should not have. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. And every step God is trying to show you, God is trying to speak to you, God is trying to incline to you, but you're so caught up in your own doing. You just got it. You've done this before. You've been at this for a while now. You know you got it all figured out. And let me tell you something. I've been at this thing for a minute too, but I'm gonna be honest with you. If I can today, you can get scared, run out of here and leave me here by myself, but it is okay. I'm gonna be honest with you because that's what I do. I don't know everything. I said it. You can leave if you want to. I made mistakes. Probably made some within the last few hours. I don't have it all together all the time. Sometimes I want to be left alone. I think I've shared that with you before. Sometimes I want to just sit back, kick back, and just do nothing. Yeah. And the thing is, family of God, can I just be, I'll tell you, y'all going to leave me alone in a minute. And the thing is when the preacher takes a seat and sit down and do nothing, church folk got a problem with it. Why he ain't doing something? Huh? You mean he got all that time on his hand? He should be over, But let me come to your house and see you sitting on your couch chilling with a remote. Yeah. It's all good then, right? But don't come to my house and see me reclining, even though I don't have a recline. I'm trying to get one. Oh, okay, I'm back. I'm back. Lord, keep me in the pocket. But when the preacher wants to sit back, recline, and just try to have a moment so that he can keep his faculty together, so that he can be in the best possible shape emotionally, spiritually, physically, to be able to minister to the people of God. No, pastor, don't take breaks. This one do. Just telling you. Now, I don't turn my phone off, and I don't block calls and see your number and throw you over. If you call me and you get that little, what does it say, I can't talk right now, I'll call you later. Boy, that thing is so smooth, you know. If you get that, I'm either in a meeting or I'm on another call. But most of the time, when you can, now I'm doing a whole lot better. I got to put this out here too, since I'm out here. I'm doing a whole lot better with responding to text messages. I know it's 2024. We've been texting now for quite some time, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'll read it and I just don't, and I probably should just go ahead and hit the thumbs up or at least let you know that I received it or the, you know, because they have it now where you don't have to respond. Just let the folk know that you got it. Sometime I got them little dots. Okay, I'm telling on myself, Sister Bed. But I know I'm not by myself in here, because if I get your phones, you probably got some little blue dots on the side of your text messages. Walk not. Don't do it. Walk not. Don't sit in those seats. Don't walk down that path. Don't fool with it, because what happens is it will lead you further away from God. It's the way it does. It's the way it's set up. No sin is set up to draw you close to God. No fornication is designed to draw you closer to God, to make you more spiritual. There is no sin that is set up to get you more spiritual. You're going to be more holy because you out there acting that kind of way? That's not the way it is designed. So don't fool yourself and let the devil continue to manipulate you to think that you can continue sinning and acting out of pocket and God's going to be okay with it. And we believe that foolishness, that I can lie and cheat and do all of these things and all I got to do is ask for forgiveness. And if you were to stop and really be honest with yourself, when the last time you asked for forgiveness immediately after you've done something you know you should not have done? And if you by chance did do it, be honest. Did you go back and do it again? Because it was so easy the first time, you did it again. And now you've gotten to the point where you've done it so many times where you just do it and don't think nothing of it. Yeah. Walk not, nor sit in those seats. Quit playing around with it. It means you no good. Yeah, let's get on down here. Let me keep moving because we have to learn. In verse 2 tells us, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, the Bible says he meditates on it day and night. This is what the righteous man do. He delights in the law of the Lord. You see, he delights, his delight is in the law of the Lord through Psalms and through the phrases. The law of the Lord is simply used to describe God's entire word. Not only the law portion of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, but the righteous man is delighted with the whole word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Not just those passages that sounds good that I can quickly remember. Oh, no. From Genesis to Revelation, I meditate on God's word both day and night. I've come to learn, family of God, that there is peace in God's word. I couldn't sleep just the other day. I was trying to find my spot, and I'm tossing and turning and 11 o'clock turn to 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock turn to 1 o'clock, somewhere around 3 o'clock, I just finally got up. Went and sat at the table and grabbed the word of God and sat down and just started reading through. Didn't know exactly where to go. I wasn't no particular. I just said, Lord, you know, maybe, you know, I went back to my color purple moment. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. Help me, Lord. That's what I did. And I sat there at that table at 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to figure if I read the scripture, either God's gonna talk to me or I'll get sleepy and just go to sleep. I didn't hear the voice of the Lord. And after about 5:30, I said, well, let me just go lay down, and I still didn't go to sleep. And I was talking to my wife, and she would wake up periodically out of her sleep and try to have a conversation with me to figure out what was going on. And it's just, I just couldn't seem, my mind was just going, thinking about this, thinking about that, thinking about her. And it seemed like I just couldn't get any reprieve. So after all that was over, I got back up and I got back in the word again, and it was like the light came on. Sometimes God just wants you to make a move. Sometimes God just wants to know that you trust him. Sometimes God just simply wants you to know. He just wants you that you're going to lean on him. And sometimes God will allow stuff to just show up randomly just so you will be able to say, Lord, I do trust you. I know it don't make sense. I know you didn't even give me the relief that I needed when I needed it. But I feel a whole lot better. I feel a whole lot better. So family of God, we got to learn how to delight ourselves in the Lord. Meditate on him day and night. Let that word resonate within your spirit. Let it get control of you. Get excited about what God is doing. Get excited about all of those things that even don't make sense. But because you know God is on your side, I get excited. I don't know how it's going to unfold. I don't know where the folk are. I don't understand it. It's not making sense. But God, I declare to you that I will be here even if I have to be here by myself, because I know you are able. Now, the reason why you're not doing it, that's between you and yourself. But I'm going to trust you in the midst of it. I don't know why you allow these things to happen. I don't know why you allow certain things to unfold. But what I do know, God, I'm not leaving you. I'm not letting go of you. And why you allow my finances to continue to act up the way that they are. When I heard many a time that you own a cattle on a thousand hills and that all I got to do is call on you and ask you and that you will bless me. But why haven't you showed up? Why, Jesus? Why would you not show up? Had you shown up, then my brother would not have died. But God is always teaching, always showing, always trying to help you through the difficult times to get you to another level, because there is more to what God has for you. This isn't it. Even in your senior status, there is still more that God wants out of your life. There is still more that God wants to pull out of you. No, it's not just the young folk, but even us in our older years, God is saying, I still have work for you. Why are you still here? You're not just here taking up space. You're not just here because God loves you so much and he just wants you here. There is a reason why you're here. There is a purpose on your life. There is a calling on your life. There is a reason why God moved the way that he moved, because God is trying to show you something. And the only way you're going to get it is if you meditate, spend time in God's word. Trying to make sense of it all, but you're not praying. Your life is doing what it's doing and it's not lining up and you're not spending time with God, and you sitting here trying to, you know, feeling some kind of way with the church and feeling some kind of way with your life and feeling some kind of way with ministry because things aren't doing what you think that, and you know you have the potential for it to do. But when you stop and take a look at your spiritual walk, you're not spending time with God. You're more ministry focused than God focused. And it's all right to be all in your ministry, but if you factor in God out of the equation, what are you doing? Amen. Who is it really about? Yeah. And God is saying, I need you to come back to me. Yeah. I need you to let me be your driving force. Let me be your factor. Let me be your foundation. Let me be your equilibrium that keep you steady. Quit leaning on your own understanding. Because you know how to add 2 + 2. I know what you need before you're even in need of it. I know what you like. I know your interests. I know your habits. I know your cares. I know your concerns. I know how much to put on you. I know what will break you. And if I know what will break you, I also know what would build you up. We must delight ourselves in the Lord, meditating on his word day and night. This is what the righteous man ponders, the word of God. He does not just hear it and forget it, but he thinks about it. And as believers, we should meditate on God's word. It shouldn't just be a Sabbath come to meeting moment. The only time we spend time in God's word is during the Sabbath hours. The only time we crack open the word of God is when we see it on the screen, or when we are pretending to look at it on our phones during the service. And then after the service is over, this is all of the God we get until the next time. That's not how you eat. You don't eat once a week between 11 and 1 or 2. And after that, you're done. You eat every day. Even snacks. I'm trying to. Because I was told I was the snack king. Yeah, I snack, Sister Bev. I snack. Then I call myself going for a walk. I'll snack, eat ice cream. I know y'all looking at me. It's dairy, I'm sorry, y'all. And then I go do a walk. And I go to Creve Coeur and I walk the steps. If you want to come walk the steps with me, come on. But I take time throughout the week to spend with God, to let him know that it's not just a weekend thing. You're not just a weekend love, but you're the lover of my life. I need you like air. You keep me when I'm down, and even in those nights when I can't sleep and I'm up walking around and I can't make sense of it all, just the fact that I know that you're there does me well. God knows. Blessed is the man. He tells us he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and wherever he doeth or goes, he shall prosper. I want to be like that tree. Everywhere I go, I want it to prosper. And here it is, family. What that looked like for you, and what that looked like for me, and what that looked like for God, may be three different looks. But everywhere I go, I want it to be said, it's a man of God. No scandals. Leave no trace of scandals. No ungodly thoughts. No ungodly moves. No ungodly character. Everything is it. You know what? When you say Pastor Fields, that's a man of God. That's someone that really loves the Lord. And love to laugh, and his sermons, he try very hard, but every now and again he'll throw something in there because he just can't help it. And I'm trying right here, right now, even after I just said that. Because that's who I am, and I said it long time ago. This, what you see is what you get. I love the Lord. And I appreciate the fact that he called me to do what I do. The Bible says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You see, a tree by a river has a continual source of water. It will never wither away because it is always getting what it needs. And if we are constantly needy, it may be worth examining if we are planted by the rivers of waters or not. I want to be planted by the rivers of the waters so that every time I need nourishment, the waters are right there. The water of God's word is right there. I want to plant myself by the word of God. I want to stay rooted and grounded in God's word. So whenever my leaves begin to turn a little brown, I can always pick up the word of God and take a drink. Can always be nourished through God's word because I wanted to bring forth fruit in its season. Solomon tells us that there is a time and place, I'm about to wrap it up, for everything. Solomon tells us that there is a time to sing, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to live, and a time to die. There's a time for everything, and I want my fruit on my branches to bear fruit in its season. That when it's time to minister, that I have what it takes because I've been planted by the rivers of water. That when it's time to be of an encouragement, I'm not in the downers or in the stupors because I've been planted by the rivers of water. When someone needs uplifting, I'm there. When I need uplifting, I can turn now to the water. I'm able to do what I need to do because God has planted me in a way where I'm always being nourished. Always being nourished. My leaves will never wither, and I shall prosper all the days of my life. The text closes out with, there is a way of the ungodly. There is a way of the ungodly. Everything is true about the righteous man, stable as a tree, continual life and nourishment, fruitful, alive, they're prosperous. But this is not so regarding the ungodly. They're not stable. They're not prosperous. They're not fruitful. It may often seem like the ungodly have these things, but sometimes it seems as though that there are more than the righteous, but it's not so. Because as I said earlier, any of these things are fleeting in the life of the ungodly. It can be said that they don't really have them at all. They look happy, but they're really not. They look prosperous, but they're really not. I don't want to have the form of godliness. I want to have the power. I want to have the true. So here it is. Where do you pitch your tent? Where do you pitch your tent? On the side of the righteous or on the side of the ungodly? I can't make that choice for you. Only you can choose which day, which God. Only you can choose which way, which life. I can't choose that for nobody. All I can do is point you to the one who can help you. That's what I do. Praise team, please come. But what I do know is that God is a keeper. that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, its way is a destruction. So I don't know who you are today, but I encourage you to choose ye this day who you will serve. Will it be God? Will it be man? If you choose God, I ask that you will stand with me as we agree to close out our time together today. Father God, we thank you again for what has transpired in this place today. We thank you, Father, for there is a way, the right way, the way of the ungodly. There is a wrong way. But we thank you, Father, for leading us into all truth. We ask your forgiveness of our sins. I ask that you will cleanse us in this place. And we will be ever so mindful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing our closing hymn found in page 334, Come Thou Fount.
Lord, and allow us to be in that spot, that